It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 23. Please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. We are in the book of Joshua, the 23rd chapter. We're going to begin reading. And it came to pass a long time after that that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all the nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. And we're going to probably read the full chapter before we're finished today, but that'll get us a good start. And so let's begin now with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this precious time. It's wonderful, dear Father, to open your word and to enjoy it and to fellowship over it. I just ask for your strength and for your wisdom, for your leadership, dear Lord, that you can guide and lead us each and every day. I thank you that we have an opportunity to take your word and put it out on the radio through the airways that people can hear. Maybe they can't get out, unable to. Maybe they have to work. Maybe they're just, Father, on their way someplace. That you have them turn the radio on and listen as they are traveling, are working. Maybe they're able to sit down and just to study together. And I hope that that be the case so that they can see the Word, hear the Word, and then come to know you as their Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus, Father, that they would know him and know him personally. Invite him into their hearts. Ask him to come in, please, dear Lord, that be the case today. And then begin that wonderful walk and growing, please, dear Lord. Just guide and lead all of us today, whatever the need may be. See that you bring it to the heart and it be taken care of. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 23, and as we've looked at these verses, you know, we've just come back after all the battles, all the divisions of all the lands. Everything is put into place, and we're coming to the close of the book of Joshua here. But in doing all these things, and then we know the 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh, headed home, and they built the altar, and it was misconstrued of what the purpose of it was, and once that was straightened out, it was okay. And we kind of spent last time talking about don't jump to a conclusion. Check it out first. See what really is going on. See what really is all about. Because as it was, they just loved the Lord, and they wanted the next generation to know and to remember. And there was no ill will towards the 9.5 tribes, nor towards any kind of division. They didn't want that. They wanted just the opposite. So once that was understood, and everything continued as it should have. Now, we find that Joshua is getting old. He's getting very old. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel. So you see, some time had passed here. And so now we're coming, and you know it's possible that 20 years, you know, there's a period of time here that had passed, and it says it passed a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. He was a little bit different than Moses. You know, Moses was in full strength when he died, and he was 120 years old. But he was in, God had just kept him. And in this case here, why Joshua was waxed old and stricken in age, and so he was just getting old. I'm sure he's just like we are. The older we get, the joints hurt and muscles hurt, and that was Joshua. He'd been through the wilderness 40 years, and then he'd come in and had all these battles to oversee, and everything is the land, and he needed to oversee the division of the land. And what a responsibility this man had. But and we'll see in the 24th chapter, and even in this chapter, we know who he gives the credit to. It's not something that he has had to do on his own, but it's what the Lord has done. And that word there, rest, is just wonderful. The Lord had given rest unto Israel. And you know, the Lord gives us rest. We can be so, so busy and working so very hard, and yet he can give us a rest and a peace that this world can't. So world's trying so hard to acquire peace, to acquire a joy, to acquire happiness. And they're looking all the wrong places. They do it with material things. It's hard to tell what you're trying to use. Some people even, you know, go into drugs and alcohol and all those things, thinking that, oh, that's just such a nice, and that's the world's way. But it doesn't work, does it? It just destroys your health, and it doesn't, I don't like to do anything that would make my mind fuzzy. I mean, I want to be able to think clearly, and you know, my mind's in trouble enough as it is, let alone to use something that would alter my mind. I want to be in control of my life, making good decisions. But when you use alcohol, drugs, many things, take that ability away, and no longer are you in control. And that's what people love about it, is because then I guess the worries go away, I suppose. But when you wake up or when it's over, the worries are multiplied. And so we need to see that we look for the right place for a peace and a rest, and that is to our God. And that's be found through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to come. And here, this is a material rest, because they have fought enemy after enemy, and now they're into the promised land. This is not heaven. It would be equal to what a Christian, a born-again believer, can have right here and right now. Not necessarily the material wealth. That was just a promise to the nation of Israel. But we can have the rest, as they did in the land of Palestine, in the land of Canaan here. And so, but the Lord had given rest. And I want you to see, because that's so important. Again, we do so many things to acquire a rest and a peace and a joy, and it can only be found through our Lord. And here he is supplying that. He is giving that rest. And it says, unto Israel from all their enemies round about. Well, there is enemies, and in today's world, I mean, and it just seems like it is multiplying. You wake up in the morning, and the first thing it seems like that we hear is this world is just almost falling apart. The things that you would think would never come to pass, the enemy is strong, and the enemy just continues to come from every direction. And there's probably not a day that I don't get up in the morning, and when I hear the first news, I think I don't understand. It's foolishness. And yet these people are to be educated and to be smart, and we have enemies around the world that hate America. And they don't want to, are they jealous? What is it about America that they hate? Well, up until not too many years ago, it was because our land was a godly nation and our land supports Israel. Now, I hope that continues, because the day that that is no longer is the day that this country is in serious, serious shape. Two things: that we are not Christian, and we have even had that proclamation so long, not so long ago, that, and if we cease to be a Christian nation, if we cease to support Israel, then we have no hope of any rest. The rest that this country has enjoyed, even though most enjoy it in the means of pleasure, is a result of the Lord's blessing. Even though majority of the people of this country are not Christian, they're not born again, and yet God, because of the believer, has blessed this country, and so in turn, even the ungodly have had the blessings of God poured out upon them. That's going to come to an end if this nation doesn't sit down and recognize the only true God, Jehovah. One God, Jehovah. There's not many gods, there's one God. And also that we continue to praise, honor, and support His people. We need to support Israel, and we have got to do that. Now here, Israel, the Lord gave them rest. We're going to find out that what we've just been talking about is exactly what Joshua tells the people. So now listen. Listen very carefully. Joshua's old. Now we'll go to verse 3. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all nation, all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. If you want rest, there's only one way that you're going to gain it, and that is if the Lord is on your side. Now, and I can't quote it correctly, but wasn't it Abraham Lincoln? And I hope I'm correct about this, but wasn't it Abraham Lincoln that said, it's not so important that I'm on the Lord's side, but that he is on, that he's on my side, that he, what we're doing is what the Lord wants us to do. And I know I've just butchered that, and I apologize. But the meaning is there that I hope what I'm doing is what the Lord wants me to do. It's not that it's the other. I hope, oh, the Lord is pleased with what I'm doing. Yes, that's true, but it has to be that what we're doing is what the Lord has set before us to do. And we need to do just that. And I'll find that quote for you and bring it another day, because it's too important to misquote. But we find here that the one that Joshua gives all the credit to the Lord. The Lord has purchased this for you, has fought against your enemies, and that's exactly what he'll do for you and for me if we're born again and we serve him and we praise him and we honor him. Now, behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off even unto the great sea westward. So from the Jordan River over, he's talking about the 9.5 tribes, the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. See, the Lord said unto the nation of Israel, you're going to go in and you're going to harvest crops that you didn't plant, and you're going to live in houses that you didn't build, you're going to use barns that you didn't construct, all these things. You're going to go in and you're going to take the land. Now, once again, what happened to all these other people? You know, why is God so mean that he would destroy all these people and bring in Israel and put them in their homes and literally slaughter all the people and then take their possessions? That doesn't seem to be very godly, does it? Well, once again, remember, God is God. God is Lord. And remember as well the opportunities that the Canaanites, the Amorites, all of them had to turn unto the Lord and to serve Him. And God says very clearly in His book, if you will serve Me, if you will follow Me, you can stay right there. You can have My blessings. But instead of that, all those years from the days that Abraham showed up to the land and began to witness for Jehovah, for God, at that time, the people continued to walk the other way and to ignore and to deny. Doesn't it sound like today? Oh, it's so sad today. The very purpose and reason to have the Ten Commandments in our courthouses, the Ten Commandments in our schools, to say prayer in our schools, all these things are so necessary because the enemy is out to destroy us. You see, there's two gods. There's only two. You may have another, and if you do, it's not true. There's two gods. I said earlier there's just one, but there is two. One is the God of this world, and the other is true God, Jehovah. The God of this world is the devil. So if you have not trusted by faith in Jesus Christ, your God's the devil. It's just as simple. Your God's the devil. And these people chose the devil as their God. Now, by choosing the devil as their God, then they had all these little gods. But the final and God, true God to them was the devil, old Satan himself. He is the head of all these little gods that you have divided and put into place. And so we need to understand that there are just two. That's the devil, and that's God the Father, the Jehovah. Now, God Jehovah is three in one, and I don't want to confuse you, but I don't want to not tell you, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, three yet one, that He is my God. Now, the devil, he is setting out to destroy, and God builds up, God strengthens, God brings rejoicing and power. The devil uses you and then spits you out when you're done. He'll use you as to sell drugs until you get hooked on them, or till somebody comes to take your place and you're murdered, and the old devil don't care whatsoever because he's going to find somebody else that he can destroy. God builds up and strengthens, takes our sin away through His Son, the Lord Jesus. The devil, you keep your sin, and you find each and every day that you are being destroyed, literally destroyed. You are dying to begin with because the wage of sin is death. So you're dying to start with. I'm living. Oh, physically my old body's wearing out, but I'm alive and living more today than ever. And I rejoice. I love life. I love the Lord. I love serving the Lord. I love all the believers that are around me. I just rejoice in knowing other Christians, rejoicing watching God work. It is just a joy to do that. And so, but the devil, he'll take you, and he'll use you, and then once he's done with you, he'll just trample you down and off you go, and he'll snatch on to somebody else. He doesn't care. The devil destroys, devour whomever he can, and that's all he does. So please get away from the devil's crowd and join the crowd that loves the Lord Jesus and serves Him. Now, you know, we've got a lot of mixture here and things, and that's what's kind of going to happen. But we need to see, because here the Lord has driven them all out, has given you this land, has given you these blessings. Why did all the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all those have to go? And it's because they were evil. They chose the way of the devil. Their God was the devil. And God gave them ample time to repent, and when the repentance didn't come, He destroyed them. And that's exactly what's going to happen to you. You're going to have a period of time, and you're going to have an opportunity to come, but that opportunity will end at some point in time, and your life will be over. And that's and it's sad, because then you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, not in heaven. You know, how many funerals you've been to that everybody says, you know, oh, they're in a better place? That's a lie. That's a lie. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, you're going to hell. And that's where the second that you die, you're going to the place of torment awaiting your final judgment. The same book that tells us about heaven is the same book that tells us about hell. Now, why don't you believe hell, but you believe there's a heaven? I don't understand that. You got to believe one or the other, don't believe anything. But stand on the Word of God. It's the only place we have the source. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right or to the left hand, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourself unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Now here's what you need to do. Joshua's telling the people. He is telling the leadership. He's telling the people, God has done this. God has fought the fight. You have won the battle through God fighting the fight. He has given you the inheritance he promised to you. Now I'm going to ask you to stand, because as in our life, there is these gods. I mean, there is the world is around us, and the world is constantly desiring to have us. And so they're tempting us. They're tempting us with everything that old devil has, so that we don't make it to church, so we don't take time to pray and have Bible study at home in the morning and in the evening. He's tempting us that we go through each day ignoring him. That's what the devil wants. He throws stuff out. Oh, look at that beautiful, beautiful boat. Oh, look at that gorgeous house. You know, if I'd start working, I can work Sundays, and if I'd work Sundays, then I'm going to get paid time and a half or double time. And so by doing that, you know, it's not going to be long. I could have that house. Oh, I know, and I'm so sorry I can't get to church, but I've got to work that time. My dear friend, I ask you that you examine your heart. Know Jesus as your Savior, and then set out to serve him. Joshua here says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep. And you have to be of great courage to keep the Word of God, to walk after him, to make that decision. That's something, as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart to help guide you, but you still have that old flesh, and those desires are still there just to continue to go your way. And so please, please don't do that. I just ask you that you listen unto the Lord and you follow after the Lord. And so we need to but cleave unto the Lord your God, and to grab a hold of and to hold on tight, because he's the one that's done this, as ye have done unto this day. Now verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised. I like that ratio. I like that. One man versus a thousand? That's who my God is. Now you can muster up everything that you want and you desire, and you think you have all these friends and all this support, but I promise you, about the time things go sour, go south, they go get ugly, I know where all those friends are at. I know where all those people are. They're gone. My God never leaves me. He never leaves me. And when I'm fighting a battle, it's just like I got 1,000 soldiers right behind me. Because that's the ratio when I stand and God stands with me. Now, if I'm not standing with God, then he's not going to say, no, Larry, I'm not going to, you know, I don't agree with what you're doing, Larry, but I'll go ahead and help you. That's not going to happen. So you see, I have to seek the Lord's will. But the Lord's will is always to better you and strengthen you and bring joy and peace into your heart. What is wrong with that? Why do you stand against that? Why don't you want Jesus in your heart and in your life? It's because the devil's duped you. The devil's tricked you in thinking that you're going to have to give up something, that to take away from this life and the joys I have of this life. Well, you've never seen life and you've never seen joy until you come by faith to Jesus. And Joshua was reminding the people of this and all the things that he has done. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised. Oh, what wonderful words. Why was the nation of Israel able to take on these great cities and destroy them? It wasn't because of their wisdom and because of their ability. It was wisdom and ability, but it was God's. It was a super strength that God gave them, whether to weaken the enemy or to strengthen them. Either way, it was always the Lord's. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Those two verses are verses that you should memorize. Remember, verse 8, 10, 11, don't forget those, please. Verse 6, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside from therefrom to the right or to the left. Come not among these nations. That's what's happened to the church. The church has joined themselves together with the world. It's just like if Israel, and they did. They went in and they were still there, and they began to intermarry, and they destroyed. They did exactly what God said, because even Solomon in his end days began to worship the idols, even though God handed him all that great wisdom, power, and strength. And it was because of the marriage to heathen wives. And he began not only to build their own little temples for them, instead of him requiring, you serve my God. Instead of that, he didn't. And it wasn't long that you find the very end there that he begins to serve there, and his power was gone. Why do you think the very country divided right after Solomon? Do you ever think about that? That Israel only stayed into place with two kings, three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. In the end of Solomon's reign, it was divided. You have the northern and the southern kingdom. That's all the longer it lasted. And then it wasn't long that they went into captivity because of disobedience, all because of disobedience. Look at verse 12. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriage with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed. You tell me that this world can offer that. God's word is true, and not one thing fails. And it starts with salvation. And I just ask that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus today. Oh, it's just always a wonderful time that we come together. And we're going to begin there next time we come together. We're taking a little more time closing out the book of Joshua. but there's just too much. Go back. If you weren't able to read it today with me, Joshua 23, look at verse 6 and 7 and 8 and 10, 11, and then just continue down through 12, 13, 14. Just search those scriptures and be reminded of how great our God is and how terrible it is to be without Him and to walk without Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?